Okay, good morning, church. Yes, awesome. Thank you so much for, being here today. I think, you know, definitely the worship and being together and worshiping and singing and praising God in a physical setting, isn't it? So much different from watching it at home, right? Yes, we're starting a new series, actually. It's called Foretold. By the way, if you're new here, my name is Pastor Balan. I'm the campus pastor. I lead the campus ministry here, the students, the university students. And we actually have a Saturday service, 5 p.m., led by students and for students, okay? So if you had come yesterday, you know, the ones that lead worship, the ones that do the transitions, you know, most of them on stage were primarily students. So if you know someone who is a student, maybe your nephew, your niece, you know, in university, please join us on Saturdays, 5 p.m., okay? You know, what day is it today? Does anyone know? Are we celebrating anything important this weekend? Okay, no, let me jog your memory, okay? It's actually Easter. And if you're from a, let's say, a Western country, often Easter is confused with what? Okay, sometimes it's not really the cross. What marketing shows us is what? What do you see? Eggs or bunnies, right? And it's because previous years before certain countries embrace Christianity, Easter was the time where you enter into like mid-spring, where all the animals would give birth, you know, and the ducks would lay eggs and birds and all this kind of thing. That's why the whole egg thing came about. But how many of you actually like eggs? Do you guys like eggs? Can you just raise your hands? Anyone here like eggs? Okay. How many of you would say you love eggs? Who loves eggs? Okay, I see some people over there. Anyone here loves eggs? Can I see any guy? Okay, sorry, you, sir, in the Manchester shirt, right? Okay, do you mind standing just to show your love for eggs? Okay, great, great. Okay, this is what I have for you. awesome, okay. We'll just remain standing. Okay, we're in a series called Foretold. Okay, so it's about prophecy and prediction. I have this egg, sir. It's for you. It's not a boiled egg. It's a Kinder egg. It's plastic. So I hope you won't get hurt or anybody in the vicinity. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw him this egg. Okay, how many of you think that he's going to catch it? Can you clap your hands? Okay, this majority of you. How many of you think he's not going to catch it? Is he going to drop it? Okay, just maybe a few. Okay, ready? Are you ready, sir? Okay. 1, 2. Yeah, I'm gonna throw it. So everyone in that place, just be careful, all right? Everybody watch. Yes! Yes! You did it! Okay. You're the man. You may take a seat. That's yours. All right, love that. Okay, is there anybody in this side of the table who likes eggs, who would say, I love eggs so much that I would stand for an egg? Anyone here? All right, you, sir. Come, I have another one. All right. How many of you think that he's going to catch it? Can you clap your hands? All right. Okay. How many of you predict or foretell that he's going to drop it, or maybe I'm going to throw and it's going to miss the mark? How many of you think that? Can you clap your hands? Okay. So a bit more think that he's going to fail or I'm going to fail, all right? Let's do this, all right? I'm going to throw this to you. Ready? Okay. Come on. Okay. Nice one. Okay. One more. We have to get this. All right. How many of you think he's going to catch it this time? Okay. How many think he's going to fail? Wow, the faith level has just increased. All right, let's do this. Ready? Yes! Great! Okay, those of you who got the right prediction, God bless you. Those of you who said they didn't catch it, okay, God bless you also. But you know what? We're in the series called Foretold, and I'm doing the series with Pastor Sean. You guys know Pastor Sean. Pastor Sean is our pastor in Every Nation Damansara. And we, you know, every time we preach, we prepare together, we exchange notes. And yesterday we texted each other, and this was his text. So we're discussing, and then he says, okay, prediction, Arsenal versus Liverpool. Pastor Tim and Pastor Sean are Arsenal fans, right? Pastor Tim, you're an Arsenal fan? Yes, yes. Pastor Sean are Arsenal fans. And he goes, and he says, okay, 2-0 to Arsenal. They played last night, or this morning, Malaysia time. And then I say, 3-0 to Liverpool. I'm not a prophet, but you know what? Yes, okay, I'm a Liverpool fan. So this is going to be displayed on YouTube and everyone watching this, you know, for a long time. Okay, so, but I share these things about prophecy because we're in this series called Foretold, and it was about the prophet Isaiah who foretold a coming king. Now, the interesting thing about Isaiah is this. When he foretold, when he prophesied about this coming king, he described this coming king about something that will come out of a stump, okay? A stump is, you know, a tree, you cut it down, what's left at the base is called a stump. So Isaiah, when he started to prophesy judgment against this nation of Israel, he begins to give this picture of hope, but he describes it as something that grows out of a stump, something dead, something alive coming out of something dead. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you want to be a stump? You know, at the end of your life, on the epitaph of your tomb, it says, this man lived like a stump. Right? Nobody. How many of you would like to say at the end of your life, you know, at your tomb, they say, this man was like a tree. Wow, right? Nobody wants to be a stump. And yet, Isaiah, when he started prophesying over Israel, he described a coming Messiah, a coming Savior, out of something that comes from a stump. Can anything good come from a stump? You know, it reminds us of the cross. When you look at the cross, it's a stump. It's a dead piece of wood that is hung on, decorated by a dead man. That's as stump as you can get. And yet on that stump, on that cross, today we celebrate life. Can anything good come from a stump? So Isaiah prophesied about this stump. And the reason he described it as a stump is pretty simple. You know, Isaiah was one of the major prophets, and he prophesied judgment, restoration. He lived in about 700 BC, and primarily his message was against the leaders and the kings of Israel at that time. Right? The role of the prophet is to be a mediator between God and man, and most often what the prophet does, it reminds the nations of the commandments, of the covenants, right? It tells the nation of Israel, you guys are messing this up. You guys are going to be destroyed because you have broken the covenant. Remember at Mount Sinai, that covenant we did with God, with Yahweh? You guys are messing this up. That's what the role of the prophet does. And he warns them that at the covenant of Sinai, it says, if you don't obey, it says that your nation will be destroyed. Right? So the prophet reminds people and gives new pictures and illustrations about the covenant. Okay, and now the people of Israel, they're a little bit prosperous, they're a little bit strong, and they become proud. Okay, so Isaiah begins to prophesy and foretells their coming judgment because they were in rebellion, they were in idolatry. The kings and the priests and the prophets at the time made it possible for them to build idols. And the kings at that time, when they started to ally themselves with Egypt. Okay, instead of trusting Yahweh like generations before, the kings of Israel at that time began to say, you know what? I'm not going to trust in God. I will trust in Egypt. Egypt will protect me against the enemies around. Right? That's when Isaiah said, you will not be spared. You'll be like this tree that's going to be cut by Assyria. You're going to be a tree that's cut down by Assyria, and you're going to be burnt. And more than that, Isaiah begins to declare, if you read Isaiah 1-9, you begin to see the evil and the wickedness of the kings. Isaiah, many times he talks about, man, you guys oppress the poor. You oppress the widows, the fatherless, he mentions. And then he tells them, stop bringing me burnt offering if you are oppressing the poor. Stop bringing me offerings into the temple. Stop celebrating the festivals because it doesn't mean anything. You guys are oppressing the poor. You're preying on the weak, he tells them. So many sins and wickedness the people of Israel and its leaders are doing. And therefore, Isaiah says, you know what? God will bring a judgment and you guys are going to be destroyed. And the amazing thing about Isaiah is in his lifetime, he experienced Assyria destroying Israel. So it wasn't like, you know, after he's dead or whatever. It happened in his lifetime. He prophesied it. It came through. He was part of that experience. Because later on, he also prophesied about Babylon, who will so destroy Israel that only a remnant is left. Babylon dispersed the Israelites so that they went to different nations. There was almost no one left in Israel. That's Babylon. That part, that time, Isaiah was no more. But the first part about Assyria, man, it happened in his eyes. So that's why Isaiah was prophesying this judgment. And God has always taken a leadership or kings very seriously in the times of the Israels. You know, when you read the book of Kings or Chronicles, you would see the stories of the kings. If they're bad kings, what happened to the country? Bad things happen, right? They got conquered. They lose wars. If there's good kings, what happens to the country? The country prospers, right? So the well-being of the Israelites were attached to the obedience of its leaders, right? So Isaiah is saying, okay, kings and priests and prophets, you guys are the leaders of this country, but you guys are disobeying God. You're sinning against God. Therefore, the nation of Israel will be destroyed, right? And he talks about the Israel is this tree. It's going to be axed by Assyria. And then comes the message of hope. It says, they shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. They shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruits. Now, so maybe some of you here are thinking, who is Jesse? Right? Jesse James. Jesse Chong, I don't know. Who is Jesse? Okay. Now, Jesse was the father of David. Okay, King David, right? One of the best kings of Israel's, King David. His father was Jesse. Now, the promise to King David was, God told David, God made a covenant with David, God gave a promise to David, and he said, the throne will always have one of your heirs forever. Okay? That was the promise to David. That on the throne of Israel will always have an heir of David. Okay? And this is what we know. And therefore, this shoot that comes out of this stump of Jesse, which tells us about who Jesus is. And when you read Matthew chapter 1, okay? Okay, when you're going home or whatever, you read Isaiah 1-10 and then read Matthew chapter 1. You'll read the lineage of Jesus. The lineage of Jesus, you know, it talks about from Adam to Abraham, blah, 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 blah. And it talks about David. And then Joseph, the father of Jesus, right? So here, even Matthew is trying to connect the root, the stump that is Jesse and a branch that comes out of it, which is Jesus Christ. So the prosperity or the well-being of the country was dependent on the prosperity of the king. And then begins to describe who this king is and what kind of king he is. and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Begins to describe this king. Now imagine how different this king is compared to the kings at that time of Israel. You put yourself in the position of Israelites, and maybe you're not one of the evil ones, right? You're not the ones going to worship the Baal and all these other gods. And you're one of the good Israelites at that time, right? And you see your kings oppressing the poor, taking the taxes, and doing all these evil things, right? And you would long for this kind of king. A king that whose spirit is upon. A king who is wise and understanding. A king who fears the Lord. Because in contrast to the kings that you had at that time, the ones that opened the doors for Egyptian worship, man, you would long for this king who fears the Lord. And that's what, out of this branch, out of this stump, Isaiah begins to declare, man, there is going to be this one king. He's not going to be like all these kings you guys currently see. This king is going to be wise. He's going to fear God. He's going to walk in righteousness. He's going to be kind. He's going to be merciful. The Spirit of God is going to be on this king. So he paints a picture of a future king that comes out of a stump. Now, what is a stump, right? A stump is maybe an application for us today. A stump is anything dead in your life that you look at it and you think, man, this part of my life has no more hope, right? This part of my life, you know, my relationship with my parents, there's no more hope. That's a stump. You know, my finances, I'm in so much debt. Man, that's a stump. You know, my future, I'm stuck in this job. I got no place else to go. Man, my future is a stump. My marriage is a stump. My children is a stump. But the Lord says to you, out of this stump, a branch will grow. Reminds me of my friend, Jackie Vung. Now, Jackie is one of our pastors in Vietnam, and he has a slight deformity with his jaw. Okay, he cannot close it, right? And growing up, he always had these insecurities because he couldn't speak clearly, and people would make fun of him, and they would bully him, right? And he would be ashamed to like speak loudly and be, you know, put himself out there in front. Or he doesn't have confidence. He would be insecure. You know, and here's a picture of Jackie when he's 2004 and he joined gangs and all these kind of things, right? And that's the way he grew up. And then he moved to Ho Chi Minh from his town. And in Ho Chi Minh, one day his motorbike broke down and his friend brought him on his motorbike, and they went to a English club, okay? In Vietnam, he went to an English club where they teach you English. And there, Jackie interacted with some people who led him to Christ. And throughout his journey, what the main verse he tells me is, you have become a new creation. And it changed his life. Even though he has this stump as a mouth, today he uses it to preach the gospel. Jackie is doing, he created his own brand of Vietnamese coffee beans, okay? And he sells it in bulk to all the different cafes around Ho Chi Minh. So he has to go there and sell them coffee. Imagine that, using his stump of a mouth. Man, today, if you met Jackie, man, he can sell ice to Eskimo. Jackie can sell toothpick to people without teeth. He's that charismatic or good or confident, I'm telling you. He's been here before. And here's the amazing thing. Did God heal his jaw? No. It's still a stump. And yet out of that stump came this branch. That's what God can do. He may not change your circumstances, but something will be different about you. If the well-being of God's people is attached to the obedience of its king, now imagine, what will a wise king do for his people, right? The well-being of God's people is attached to the obedience of his wise king. So he talks about how he will not judge with his eyes or decide disputes with his ears, but with righteousness. He shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. How many of you would like a king like that, a leader like that, who is righteous? You don't have to, you know, doubt when you pay your taxes. Oh my, what is he doing with my taxes? I worked my heart. Oh man, what are they doing with it? You don't have to think about that. Why? Because the king is righteous. How many of you like a king who looks after the poor in the community? Right? He'll judge the poor, decide with equity the meek of the earth. That he's not just for the rich and prospering the rich in the country, but he looks out for the poor. Righteousness will be the belt on his waist and faithfulness the belt of his loins. That this king will not be only be good for, let's say, the first 5 years of his term, but the rest of his term, for the rest of his time, he remains faithful. Wow. That is the kind of king that we want. You know, so today we celebrate Easter, right? And we are reminded that for by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. If bad kings will cause a country to be destroyed and its people to suffer, what will a good king do? What will a good king do for its people? Okay? For if one man started the domino effect that caused the rest of the world and the human race and generations to become sinners, who's that one man, I wonder? Does anybody know, according to this text, who is that one man who disobeyed God and caused everyone to be sinners? Who is that one man? Can someone tell me? Sorry? Adam. Who said that? Okay. Anyone? Who said Adam? Okay, there. Yes, yes. Okay, okay. Adam. All right, one more. Are you ready? Oh. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for playing. One man's disobedience caused all of us to become sinners. What did Jesus do for you? You see, God is just, yeah? If Adam caused all of us to be sinners, you know, maybe you're here today. Yeah, I hear this often. Hey, Pastor Balan, why am I a sinner? It's not my fault, what? True. But even if you were in the garden, maybe you didn't, you would have made the fault anyway. Right? So, if one man caused all of us to be sinners, what will one man's obedience do? Right? You see, your salvation is not dependent on your goodness. Your salvation is not dependent on your goodness. It's not dependent on how kind you are, wise you are. It's not. It was given to you by the obedience of Christ. See, God is fair. If by Adam all of us become sinners, he says, by my son Jesus Christ, everyone will be made righteous. That's what we celebrate today, the wise king. That's why, if God can judge a nation based on bad kings, he will also give grace and prosper its nation because of its good king, Jesus Christ. Now imagine this. What if your salvation is dependent on your leaders? What if your salvation was dependent on Pastor Balan? Right? God was going to judge this church based on, oh, the morality of Pastor Balan. Let me tell you what, you better move to a different church right now. If it was dependent on me, you're finished. If dependent on anyone, you're finished. Well, except for maybe Pastor Stephen, we might be have a chance. But aside from that, it's not dependent on you. I mean, your salvation is dependent on Jesus Christ. That's what this text means. That's what we celebrate today. We celebrate the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And the result of that is righteousness. Not bought by our own goodness, our kindness, our own morality, but really purchased by Jesus Christ on the cross. And, you know, that's why we get to be grateful. So the question is, Pastor Balan, what's my application today? Give me something to do. What must I do to be saved? Simple answer. Put your faith and your trust not in the kings of man, not in Egypt, not in your own strength. Put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. When you pray, when you come before God, don't think, oh, this prayer, getting it answered is dependent on how good I am. Whether I attended life group, whether I did one-to-one, whether I went to church this weekend, whether I fasted. That's not why God will give you your prayers. He doesn't respond to you based on your goodness. He responds to you on the goodness of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? So when you approach God today, you know, you don't have to think, oh man, God's not going to answer my prayers because blah, 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 blah. Man, when are you ever good enough for God to answer your prayers? Please, think about that. God does not respond to us based on our behavior. He loves you because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. And that's what we celebrate today, the wise king who feared God so much so that he died on the cross. You know, can we stand even as we respond to God today? And we're going to watch this song, and I hope that, you know, even as we watch this video and watch this song, that we can sing along and be reminded of who God is, that He's the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you. You're a good God and you're an awesome God. You know, we're going to take the communion right now. So just prepare your elements. That you have before you, it represents the body of Christ. It represents the body of Christ, that Jesus, though he was king, was so obedient, so humble, that he allowed his back to be whipped, to be tortured, allowed his body to be broken for you and me. That's the King that we have in Jesus Christ. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, he broke it, divided it with his disciples and said, "This is my body, it's broken for you. Take it in remembrance of me." Let's take the wafer together. On the same night, he took a cup, gave thanks to it, and he told his disciples that this is the blood, this is my blood, is poured out for the forgiveness of your sin. Drink of it in remembrance of me. So let's drink the juice in remembrance of Jesus. I want to give an opportunity today. If there's somebody here that you don't identify yourself as a Christian, you don't identify yourself as a follower of Jesus, you know, maybe a friend invited you, maybe you've been exploring, you know, you joined one of our life group or discovering God, but today you would like to invite Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today, you would like to say, you know, "Jesus, I want you to be my king over my life, over my future." If today you're here and you would like to invite Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can you just raise your hand and just wave at me so I can just see you? Is there anyone here who would like to just receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? Okay. You know, if you're online and you're watching this, please reach out to us as well if you would like to dedicate your life to Jesus and invite Him in. And so let me just pray. Yeah, Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. God, I thank you for giving us Jesus to be our King, so that our salvation is not dependent on our goodness, but it's already been purchased, already been given by the death, the life, and the resurrection of Christ. We thank you, God, that we can rest, we can relax in the security of salvation, because you have given it to us by your grace, Lord. It wasn't earned. We didn't work for it. All we did was believe and put our hope and put our trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. So we're so grateful, God, for this gospel that you've made available to us, Lord. And today, we want to continue to dedicate our lives to love you and to honor you, because you are worthy. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.